It's been a long time since I've been at Valley Church. I've been looking forward to this opportunity for a while now because I love your church. I love your people as well, but I really love your heart for Jesus and all that God is doing in your midst. And this is the first time I've been here since the transition from Owen to Marcel, and it looks like you made it. You made it, right? You're none the worse for wear. Marcel grew up in my youth group in Saskatoon. I told him this morning he's the only one that's not in jail. But that doesn't make me old. That just makes him really young, right? I'm not sure exactly. Thank you. I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but that's 27, okay? I grew up in Ontario. I started ministry on the east coast of Canada, found a wife there, and we were married, had a couple of kids, moved to Saskatoon, and then in Saskatoon I was there for 10 years, and then since that time I've been in Calgary for, wow, it's a long time, like 22 years since that time. And as Luke said, we're involved in a ministry called United Youth Outreach. It's a covering for a number of ministries. We have about a dozen under us, and Street Invaders is one of those ministries that operates under United. We have some material in the back. If you're interested in picking that up, you're welcome to. And it would be really encouraging to me if you would take a moment and just pray for us. We really appreciate that. After all of these years, I understand that it's not about me. It's about him and his ability to hear our voice calling out to him, if you will, and answer our prayers. How many of you are glad the Lord answers your prayers all the time? Of course, he does. I just want to say a special shout out to, shout out means speaking about, for those of you that don't know what that means. I'm actually not going to shout, but I just want to say a special thank you to Owen and to Val for their time here at Valley Church. This is not my church, so I'm sure this has been said many times. If not, it should have been. You don't have many fathers amongst you. You know, you need to know that. You don't have many fathers. Paul said that. And it's true to this day. There's not many fathers. There's lots of people that fathers have raised up, but not so many fathers, because the tenacity to keep going over that period of time is not easy. It's not simple. And I'm just on the edge of coming into the possibility of the Lord giving me that particular title. It would have to be him, because I'm not about to take it on my own. But all it does is make me that much more understanding of the time and the effort and, as I said, the tenacity and the heart and the stick-to-itiveness that Owen and Val have had. So would you, on my behalf, and as if it was coming from me, would you give them a round of applause for all their years here? Oh, and I have a sense in my heart that the Lord has given me a word for you and Val, and I won't share it publicly, but at the end, if we can get out of here before 3 o'clock, I can't really see that clock very well. I'd be honored if you'd let me just pray over you as a couple, if that'd be okay. So, appreciate Mel Bozer. You didn't ask me if you could do this, but all word on the street is that Dean is a great guy. Right? Is that true, church? Okay. Okay, well, in light of that, I forgive you. So, really happy for you as a couple, and know that God has great things in store for you. You had another little rascal that used to work for me. His name is Clark Relieve. Clark, first time, I think it was the first time he ventured out of the house, let alone Vancouver, that he moved to Saskatoon to work for us, doing graphics and design and all that kind of thing. And I want you to know that you people raise good stock. You really do. Clark's a good man. He's now married, I'm told, right? Has 4 kids, is it? No, not yet. That'll come. I'm not going to have you stand. Would you just hold your hands out like this? And just let me introduce this with a prayer. Father, we submit our hearts to you this morning, not because I'm here, but because you are. And we come expecting. Lord, so many times we pray, and then we forget to expect that maybe that answer is on its way, except when things are really serious. And so together, Lord, we pray for this one thing today, that your presence, your manifest presence, would minister in our hearts. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Father. We need you to come by your Spirit and make yourself real in our lives. And whatever is you, we'll accept and receive. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. I speak different parts of the country and have opportunities to speak in different denominations, and it's just a lot of fun to see how wide and varied the body of Christ is, and I enjoy those opportunities, but I especially enjoy the opportunity to come and hang out with a full gospel church. I especially enjoy the opportunity to come and hang out with Lynn Valley, and as I said, it's been a little bit of time since that happened. When I found out that we were coming, I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share, because you can't, you know, you shouldn't just pull something out of the can and say, okay, this is what we're going to speak on. So I was praying, I said, Lord, I want you to tell me what it is I should tell these people, because it's probably going to snow, and it's going to cost them something to get to church in the morning. By the way, you didn't have to do that for me just to make me feel at home. So one morning, the Lord answers my prayer about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he spoke to me. So the title of my message this morning is The Presence, and my focus is on how the Father so desires to be with us in his Spirit, desperately desires to be with us. As much as you and I go through seasons of really wanting to be close to him, and those are great seasons, there's nothing wrong with them. But how many know we're not maybe as consistent in some of those desires as we should be? That's not to cast any aspersions on us. That's just reality. We're human. We're fallen creatures. But he, on the other hand, every single day, he waits for us to wake up so that he can be with us. Imagine. He wants to be with us. I don't know if he wants to be with the second service so much as the first service. Because you guys are committed. He wants to be with us. If that's not the greatest conundrum you've ever realized, I don't know what is. Let me just say to some of you, please don't try and spend a lot of time figuring that out, because that's a rabbit trail that will take you away from him instead of close to him. There is no figuring out the love of God. There isn't. Just simply accept and say, this is a fact that I don't understand, but I accept, right? There's a number of ways that God the Father, through his Spirit, displays his presence. For example, the omnipresence of God is a truth that states that God not only exists, but is everywhere all at the same time. You know, like you would like to be, how many would like to have that just on occasion? Just so I could be in at least two places at once. That'd be great, wouldn't it? The Bible says in Psalms 139, David was writing in verse 7, he said, where will I go from your Spirit, or where will I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Some of you have testimonies that would suggest that that's a good thing, because you have been away from him at times in your life, and yet he found you no matter where it was that you went. There's such a thing as the omnipresence of God. There's also a way that his presence is revealed to us here on earth on an individual basis. Prior to us accepting him into our heart, that Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Bible says he actually literally dwells with us by his Spirit prior to salvation, for the purposes of convicting you and I of the sin that's in our life. John chapter 16, I believe these are on the screen, or they will be. John 16 verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, It's to your advantage, Jesus speaking, that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, and the Helper, by the way, is the Holy Spirit, if I do go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he'll convict this world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This is a strange question. How many are thankful that you still can be convicted? Are you glad for that? Because that's now the Holy Spirit not condemning you, but convicting you of stuff that he wants to change in your life. I don't know about you, but I know myself, I'm far from perfect, and I require that on a regular basis. Sometimes my wife thinks she's the Holy Spirit, and I have to correct her and say, honey, he's got this. Dean, I don't know whether you've experienced that yet, but hang on. According to Christ, again, the presence of the Holy Spirit not only surrounds us prior to salvation, but when we accept Christ into our heart, he actually comes and indwells us on the inside. So wherever you go after salvation, he'll go with you. Amen? Wherever you go at salvation, after salvation, he'll be with you. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Again, the word helper is the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The in relationship, if you want to call it that, is what happens when you say yes to Christ. There's actually an indwelling sense of his presence that is with you, and it stays with you wherever you go at that point. Finally, there's the presence of the Lord that comes upon us when we're filled with the Spirit. This is a full gospel church. I'm not sure if there's a half full gospel church anyplace. My church is called Full Gospel. But I think the connotation when it says full gospel is that we believe in the infilling of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and all of the things that are afforded us as a result of the day of Pentecost. Well, that was actually promised to us by Jesus in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You'll be witnesses unto me. That, by the way, is the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you. And Peter is a perfect example of what happened. So these are all examples of expressions of the presence of God showing himself to us on an individual basis. And if you're a Christian this morning, I'm sure that you're thankful for all of those. But there's a promise of the presence of God, if you will, that comes into a corporate setting when two or three people are gathered together. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Matthew 18 and verse 19 says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So when the worship team or the pastors say, Lord, we're thankful for your presence amongst us, that's what they're referring to. I call it the manifest or obvious or corporate presence of God. Same presence, same Holy Spirit, but coming to us on a different basis and to a certain degree, for a different purpose. We can experience this when we gather together. The Holy Spirit manifests or shows himself through an intense sense of his presence among us. And when I say intense, I don't mean that you can hardly stand, although there are situations when that happens. But what I mean by intense is obvious, that there's no question there's something in the house. There's no question that there's something in the midst of our group of people. And there's numerous examples in the scriptures that speak of the Lord displaying himself in this way. Excuse me. Psalms 22 and 3 says, but you are holy, you that inhabit the praises of Israel. That's found in the King James Version, so it won't look the same as on here. But I wanted the word inhabit to come up on the screen for you. Inhabit in the Hebrew means to sit down amongst. The worship team plays for an audience of one. Right? You worship for an audience of one. And that one, although you don't see him come through the door and grab a bulletin, he is obviously in this house when worship goes to him, and he sits down amongst the praises of his people. You can expect that. Same Holy Spirit, but a different manifestation. Acts chapter 2, which we are all very familiar with, it's the story of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or divided tongues, like as fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? Why would Paul say that to the church in Corinth? If you know anything about the church in Corinth, you know of all the New Testament churches, it was the most whacked of everyone. There was no church that was off the rails as much as Corinth. And yet when Paul spoke and wrote to Corinth, he said, I want you to see the demonstration of Spirit and power when I speak, so that your faith would not rest in my wisdom, the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How many would say we need more of the power of God in our lives, in our corporate gatherings? And this is across the board, no matter what church we're talking about. Now, some Christians feel that we shouldn't allow any emphasis on something like that because it might produce emotion or worship during our worship services. Excuse me. If you're a Patriots fan, you're going to be quite emotional today when they win another Super Bowl. Just saying. And I know you've heard this illustration many times, but the truth of the matter is we have a Super Bowl that's much higher than anything that wraps itself in pigskin. His name is Jesus, and he's worth celebrating. And so we ought not to be fearful of it soliciting or eliciting emotions from us. I'm not saying that you go nuts, but I am saying don't be surprised if you, who were made by him as the creator, get a little emotional during his presence when he comes to you to tell you that he loves you. Amen? Some people are concerned about that. Others feel that the potential of excess in the flesh is reason enough to not concern ourselves with his manifest presence. I can give you a good reason you don't have to worry about excess in the flesh. And that's because as a church, you have had and do have good leadership. And just as in the scriptures in Corinthians, where Paul talked about the prophetic word, and he said, a couple or three prophesy and the rest judge, it's not like there isn't anything that needs to be corrected in the local body of Christ. But lovingly using the gifts of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, worshiping in the midst of the manifest presence of our Father, I can tell you that it's entirely biblically sound to expect your leadership to judge that and say yes and say no when the time comes. And the fact that he has to say no or she has to say no does not denote a reason to say, I do not want this biblical manifestation in my midst. Many quote the scripture that speaks of doing things decently in an order out of context as a means to potentially stop that. Can I just say that every church across the country of Canada today that's meeting like this has flesh? All of them. We've just become used to it. We've even made policies to confirm it. Just take your finger like this, two fingers, finger and a thumb. Come on. Do you want to get out before noon? Take your other hand and just pinch. Do you feel that? It's called flesh. You're full of it. You're wrought, in some cases overwrought, with potential to make mistakes. Do you think the Lord doesn't know that? And when he created the body of Christ and created the local church and asked us to come and gather unto him, that he wasn't aware of the fact that sometimes we need to be corrected. Is it all right if the church corrects you?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me ask again. By a show of hands, is it all right if Jesus ordains for the church to correct you so that you would walk closely with him? Just raise your hand. Yeah. That's the right answer, by the way. Finally, there are those who believe that the revelation of the Father's manifest presence ceased to exist upon the canon of Scripture actually coming together and being complete. And at that point, there was no more need for it. They're known as cessationists. Cessationists believe that it ceased, the outpouring of the Spirit ceased at that point. I'm here to tell you that that's not just not true, but that's a lie. And if you happen to believe that, I have a couple of books I would ask you to consider. One is by Dr. Jack Deere. It's called Surprised by His Spirit. The other is The Unseen Realm by Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Both of those books go into the Scriptures very deeply about this issue of cessationism. Actually, Jack Deere was on staff at Dallas Theological Seminary. And if you know Dallas, it's a very conservative theological institution. And in the midst of what he was doing, he was actually teaching cessationism to his students. This is kind of ironic. The Lord has such a great sense of humor. I love it. And his wife got filled with the Spirit and started, I think this is the way it went, started laying hands on the sick and they started to get healed. Well, when your spouse does something like that, you can't explain it away as excess or something else. And so he started to look into it and the Holy Spirit began to train him in those things. And that's the gist of that particular book. I encourage you to buy it. The Lord has always desired, though, a way to come and be with his people. Amen? Are you glad for that? Are you glad you don't have to walk through this life, especially in the snow, by yourself? Is that not a good thing? Are you not happy about the fact that Jesus cares enough with you or for you to be with you during this situation and all your other situations? Some of you come from very tragic experience, some of them very recently. Let me just say this in case I forget. The Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning and said, there is somebody here who has just come through a period of time where you have, I'm careful when I choose my words, you've lost your ministry or you're no longer involved in your ministry. It seems like that was a tragic or an unfortunate, it's not what you necessarily wanted, and that has held you back in your walk with him. I don't know how long ago this was. The Lord wants you to know that he's not finished with you and he has much in store for you. And I'd like to pray with you at the end of the service. If that's you, you just come and let me know. Jesus came to earth in the first place to open the door for us to be with the Father. That's why he came. This is why Jesus said he had to leave, so the Holy Spirit could come and lead us into all truth. Even through the Old Testament, the Lord has always desired to be with his people. Always. He's always wanted to be with his people. It didn't matter whether it was a burning bush. It didn't matter whether it was a box called the ark. It didn't matter if it's a pillar of fire or a cloud. It didn't make any difference. He just wants to be with us. And we act like, oh, we desperately want to be with him. And I'm sure we do. But you can augment that a million times. And that's his desire to manifest his presence in your midst. Now, there's no question I shouldn't allow my emotions to guide my walk with Jesus. Worship is much more than emotion, but it seems like that's the piece we get hung up on the most. I shouldn't allow my emotions to guide my walk with him more than the truth of his word. But none of this means that we shouldn't seek his presence in our midst. If there was a church that ever went off the deep end, as I said, when it comes to flesh and emotion and error and excess, it was Corinth. And yet Paul not only didn't just correct them or tell them to stop, he literally said, carry on with this course correction. If that was me, I would have shut it down. If that was Lynn Valley, I would have sent a fax, a courier, I would have sent a pigeon, I would have sent mail, email, whatever I had to do to say, listen, you guys are crazy. This is wrong. This is embarrassing to the kingdom of God. You stop until I can get out to Vancouver and correct you. He didn't do that. For whatever reason, historically, he wasn't able to make it. He sent two letters. Each of them was, carry on, but correct this in your midst. If you'll do that for Corinth, There must be value to the very things that he spoke of when it came to the outpouring of the Spirit. Many in the church have inadvertently taken the scripture decently in order out of context because we're fearful, and many times we'll use it as a way of keeping the presence of God from being welcomed in our midst. I'm glad Lynn Valley is not that way. Are you glad? That's the right response. The outpouring was not simply a means to an end until the canon of scripture was completed and then it's no longer needed. We believe it was put in the book as the plan for the establishment of the church and the propagation of the gospel into the world as we know it. The greatest thing that's keeping the church from experiencing his manifest presence many times is fear and leadership not knowing how to lead. There are people whose lives have been changed simply due to sensing the Lord's presence in their lives. Many times, not even in the church. You know, it's not constrained to this building. Are you glad for that? That he's actually found outside of Valley Church? Isn't that a good thing? Not just simply because he's omnipresent. John 4:23 says, Jesus told the woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Hear me. We're called to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, with heart and with head, through emotion and through thought, through feelings and intelligence. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, say that word, mind and strength. That's how we're to love him. That's how we're to worship him. That's what he's called us to. See, my heart is not to seek Christ simply to look for an experience or an emotion or a feeling. My heart is that we worship him in spirit and truth. And in the midst of that, if we experience that emotion or feeling, we won't simply cast it away in case that's him trying to get our attention. But we'll consider it through the word of God, strain it through the word of God as a potential means the Holy Spirit may be speaking to us. My desire for churches today is that the Lord will come out and sit amongst us as we worship, because his presence brings healing. Have you seen physical healing in your church? You know what that's about? He heals people today. That's his manifest presence. People get saved today. There are more people getting saved today than in any other time in history. The Lord is appearing to Muslims in Middle East in their tents as the man of white. I'm sure you know this. And he is saying, "Come and follow me." And they are making the connection between the man of white and Jesus, but the truth of the matter is, that's the word that's going around amongst the Muslim population. In fact, there are more Muslims getting saved today than at any time in recorded history. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them are turning to Christ because he's our hope, amen? It's not because of us. In many cases, it's in spite of us. And he said, "I'm going to go into their tent where you're not allowed, and I'm going to show them myself." Why would he do that? Because he desires to dwell amongst his people. And those people are equally his people. They just don't know it. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. If you came to church today and you haven't felt his presence for a long time, I want you to know that he's ready to hang out with you again. Isn't that cool? You can tweet that. He's ready. He's interested. You say, "Well, you don't know my life." No, he does, and he's still interested. "Well, I screwed up here. I did this, this, and this." You think he doesn't know that? He knew you were going to do that before you did it. He knows that you regret it now. And he never planned for that to be the reason that you don't walk into his presence. You're invited. You're invited. Come. In every Christian life, there are seasons of dryness. Just as a drought will make a tree's root go deeper, looking for moisture, so a dry season in our lives allows us to go deeper in our relationship with the Lord. But you need to understand that that's the exception in nature in the same way that it is exception in our walk. He never planned for you to live your whole life and never sense his presence. I'm going to have that slide, Cam, or Cam's apprentice. We need him in light of our culture, our world, our nation. We are incapable apart from his presence to make a lasting difference. Let me say that again. We are incapable. It's not because you don't have enough money or a big enough building. It's certainly not because you're not smart enough and you haven't thought this through. No. Let me tell you something. Lynn Valley is not capable of making a difference in this world without his presence. And everybody said, as the picture says, more happens in his presence than in our efforts. I'm going to have just the lady on the keys. Is she here? Gone? Did everybody leave before I spoke? Or somebody with a guitar? Just one instrument, because I feel very strongly that this... I want to keep this open for as many people as possible. Is that Clark's sister? That's good. Let's just bow our heads as she plays. Holy Spirit, I pray, not that you'd confirm what I said, but that you confirm your word in our lives. There are people that have gathered unto you today and yet have not sensed you in terms of your presence for many years, maybe. In fact, there's someone, Lord, that has come this morning that treats that, it's almost become an issue of righteousness to them, that they carry on serving you in spite of the fact that for whatever reason, your manifest presence has not shown itself to them. I pray that you would show them today that that's not your will for their life, no matter what has happened. Your desire is that you would dwell with your people in a way that we would sense you dwelling with your people. Jesus, I pray that those in Lynn Valley that need that sense of your presence, it's not that they're not Christians. It's just been a long time since they came to the well. I pray they would come and you would minister to them. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not sure what your tradition is or your ritual at the end of the service. Actually, I do. So, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. In the balcony or down here, it doesn't matter. If you would say, thanks for explaining that to us. And for the most part, most of what I've talked about today, you probably already know. But the reason I read so many scriptures and I go over that is to lay a biblical foundation for what the Lord wants to do. And the Word of God actually builds faith in your heart to receive what He wants you to have that day. And so my prayer is that there's been enough of that that's happened that you would receive this morning. So I just want you to be honest, just courageous, okay, if that's what you need. I just want you to stand at your seat if you'd say, Larry, I'm one of those people, for whatever reason, that it's been a long time since I really sensed that God was real in my life. And you're not maybe even doubting it theologically. Maybe you are, but maybe you're just saying, hey, it's not that I don't believe that he dwells within me. It's just that it doesn't seem that way most days in my life or for a long time. I'm not talking about running after emotion. I'm talking about running after Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. If that's you, I just want you to stand at your seat. Just do that right now. I won't call you out necessarily. I don't know most of your names, so you don't have to worry about that. Just stand, and we'll pray for you. This doesn't mean you're in sin. None of that. It doesn't mean you failed. Don't treat it as what you have or haven't done. Treat it as what he wants to do. What does he want to do? He wants to hang out with you. And he wants you to recognize that. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite, if you would come, please, if you would honor me with that, that would be great. Thank you. Okay, folks, those of you that are standing, just look at me just for a moment, and then I'm going to pray for you. Here's the truth. The truth is that God hasn't separated himself from you. He hasn't run from you. Maybe you've gotten busy. Lots of excuses. Forget those. Forget. That's not the focus. This is the one thing I want you to know. He moved all of heaven, all of earth, so he could be with you. All of heaven and earth he moved so he could be with you. How cool is that? And in his omniscience, he knew what your life was going to be like. And yet he still did that. He still saved you, and he still brought you close. So the fact that you walk from him, or whatever the reason is that you're in the midst of this desert, understand this. This is the truth. He loves you, period. Not because of what you do or don't do. He loves you, period. Not if, but period. You can always find your way to him. Always. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that those who have stood, that desire this in their life, that you would give your presence to them in a fresh way. We know you dwell within us. Many of us, you dwell, you've come upon us. We're filled with your spirit. But life happens to us. And it's been a while since my brothers and sisters have felt your Holy Spirit in their life. This is not about feeling as much as it is obedience, Lord. This is coming into synergy with your will in our lives. This is how you would have us to live. And for those who have found ourselves in this place because of a tragedy or a mistake or something that was thrust upon us, we ask in Jesus' name that you would give us the courage and the strength of your spirit to get beyond this. In the midst of that time, we would trust you that you do all things well. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't he a good God? Isn't he a good God? I'm going to pray for Pastor Owen and Val. And while I do, those of you that stood, if you would like me to pray with you, just come to the front. I'm happy to pray with you as well. We'll go right through the worship and the next service if need be. It doesn't matter. Because I believe God wants to impart something to you today. I believe he wants to impart something to you. It's my pleasure to be able to help with that. If that's you, even if you didn't stand, you feel free just to come and stand at the front, and we'll do that. God bless.
So thank you for being here today. Thank you, Larry, for sharing. And we'll turn it over there. If you are in need of prayer for other things, we're going to invite the prayer team to come. And if you need other prayer, we'd love to be praying with you as well. And so we can do that. Other than that, coffee is outside. And may God richly bless you. And we will see you next week. Thanks for being here.